Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is me, Jonathan Alexander, your Eurostar show, Life, Laughter, Happiness. Today, I have my co-host, Barbara. Are you there, Barbara?
Yes, I am here. Hi, everybody.
Now, Barbara, why don't you introduce, being this is somebody that you've known for many, many years, why don't you introduce her?
Okay, I am so excited. We're continuing with our Playboy Playmate series on Life, Laughter, Happiness. And I'm so excited to introduce Renee Tennyson, Miss November 1989 and Playmate of the Year 1990, one of the very first Playmates I ever met. When I was staying at the Playboy Mansion, she was sent up to pick me up, and the rest is history. Welcome to the
exactly.
show, Renee.
Thank you so much for having me on, and you are definitely one of the first Playmates that we had. And we had a good time that night. We really did. We just, you know,
I heard you
didn't know anybody, and they sent me out, and I had a car, and you were kind of like, let's get into some fun. Right? And then
it was more than I ever imagined. Okay. She had this boyfriend. You were dating this guy at the time who just happened to be a Chippendale dancer.
Exactly.
And so we went and watched him perform. Can you believe that, Johnny?
And they were so excited. Ooh. They were so excited because I was bringing in a playmate, and everybody was so excited because they knew she was going to be there. And then so we got our little front row seats, and, you know, it was fun.
And here I'm thinking, okay, this is my new life. You know, my friends have Chippendale dancers for their boyfriends, and this is like a new fun life.
I think it might have been across from Roxbury, like when the Roxbury was going off.
I have a question. Renee, you were dating a Chippendale dancer?
I was, yeah.
Let me ask you this. Did you ever do a photo shoot with your boyfriend?
No, I didn't. Let me back this up here. I didn't know he was Chippendale. Let's put that out there. I just saw this. I was at Bar One. I saw this really good-looking guy. And I was like, oh, my God, that guy's, like, really cute. And so then, like, for whatever, we start talking. He got my number. And then so we start dating. But then I didn't know he was Chippendale. You know what I mean? And then one night, like, he jumps at the end of the bed. And he was going to do, like, this little striptease. And I was kind of like, huh, what? So I was like, no. But then he's
did
like,
you say, well, where did you learn how to do that?
Yeah, no, I was kind of like, I wasn't feeling it. I was just kind of like, nah. I was kind of like, but I think he thought that was going to be like his ace in the hole. Like he was going to jump and do the whole striptease. And then I was going to be like, oh, my God, it's so great. But I was more kind of like, now what? I was like, you're a chip.
Like, what? That's
exactly.
Not really impressing me. Maybe
I don't want to really know more about you. The exact opposite. So then I was kind of like, well, I'll go to the show. And then I took my sister. She wasn't in town yet. But then I think it probably took you. And then I went and saw the show. And it was pretty good. So it's kind of like, all right, I can do this. But it definitely wasn't like a slam dunk. You know, the Chippendale thing wasn't.
It wasn't a total love connection.
Yeah, exactly.
It was fun for our first meeting.
It was, and then in the end, I was just kind of like, the Chippendales are fun, and they're great, and you have all these cute guys that are, you know, really good looking, and then my sister, she came down, and we were both like, you know, this is really fun.
Yeah, but you know what, modeling, we're going to get to the very beginning with you and where you're from and all that, but I was always the type that didn't really like the male models because, you know, we modeled with them a lot and they were nice people, nothing wrong with them, but I was never attracted to the male model type because
me
they
either.
Are into themselves, aren't they? They're,
yeah.
I don't want
yeah,
them
you're
looking
so right.
into the mirror more than I am. Yeah.
Yeah. You're so yeah. right. I never dated any of the models either because it just, you know, I mean, the Chippendale was probably the you know, that kind of thing. But then after that, I was kind of like, because you work with guys all the time, but it just wasn't my thing, you know? So I was with you on that for sure.
Yeah. Okay. Really... So, yeah, because I never knew what happened after that. And it's not like I followed all your boyfriends very much. So that's interesting. Because you know what?
Yeah.
I thought, wow, you know, some people do really get into it though, Renee. They really get into the male model. I have to have a certain look. But
they do.
It's nice that they're that gorgeous. It's nice if they have that great of a body. It's wonderful. But it's a lot more about the guy that I need than just the looks. And so
exactly. Yeah. And also too, smart guys, that can be intoxicating too. If somebody's really smart and intelligent, you know, that's an attractive quality. So it's not always. And you want him definitely attractive, but you definitely don't, you know, I also want him like kind of smart and have something to say because I find that attractive as well.
Oh, me too. Definitely. So let's start at the very beginning. You are from a pretty small town, aren't you, in Idaho? Caldwell? How many people?
I was born in Caldwell. And then my sister and I grew up in Melba, which is like a really small farming community. It's like really, really small. It's like out in the middle of nowhere. So we went to school there. And we basically went to junior high. But my sister and I were like always really into fashion. We were always like telling everybody like, oh my God, we're going to become models. We're going to go to LA. We're going to, you know, so we were always like telling everybody this, like we were like in like fourth grade, fifth grade. And in our senior yearbook, it says that these two are going to become successful models and move to LA. That's what we had basically put out to the universe. Yes.
So
I don't know how we were going to do it. We just were telling everybody that's what we were going to do. Pretty much.
Well, let's tell the listeners, because a lot of people don't know, you have an identical twin sister named Rosie.
I do. I have an identical twin, and she and I were the ones, you know, we grew up in Idaho, the really small place. Eventually, we moved from there to, like, a bigger town, which was in Nampa. That was, like, you know, where we ended up going to high school, and that's where my sister and I, like, we were really into fashion. So, like, when we were sitting out on the farm, we were both like, you know what, when we go to this big town, you know, everybody's going to be, like, dressed really good, and they're going to be, like, really famous, and so we need to fit in. So my sister and I were, like, my mom had bought us a sewing machine, so, like, all summer long, we were sewing outfits, we were designing, we were just, you know, trying to fit in, you know, to the school. So we, you know, because we were from this farming community, stuff like that. So, we were watching like MTV, we were watching like Prince and Madonna and David Lee Roth. So we were designing our outfits based off these music videos, you know, and they were pretty scandalous. So when the first day of school, my sister and I had made like this kind of, you know, I don't remember like a virgin and Madonna was in Levi's and lace outfit. You know, so we had kind
with the
of
pearls
knocked,
and the chunky jewelry and the leather jacket.
Exactly. So my sister and I, like, we had made that for our first day of school. Well, needless to say, the principal, you know, like we came walking in there, they were just like, oh my God, like, who are these two? Where do they come from? Because like our outfit was like similar to the Madonna video, you know? But it was for high school.
That is hilarious.
Like ninth grade. So then, like, we got sent to the principal's office, and they were like, girls, you can't wear this to school. And we're like, what?
No way.
So then my mom.
How wonderful, though.
Yeah. We
Renee,
got sent
how
home.
Wonderful it is that you had each other, because when you have a sister that you're that close with and you have to do big things like move to a new school, you always have each other. You have each other's backs. And I've known you all of these years, and I've known Rosie really well as well from modeling. And you guys are so close. And I've never known you to have ever, like, even a disagreement. It's like you are just so similar, not just with your looks, but mentally. And you're doing things together in life, which I find that with a lot of twins and triplets too, that they're even marrying in the same year. They're doing much
twins
these big
are,
things. And this has happened with you?
Yeah, twins are alike. Twins are, but we do fight. My sister and I fight like all the time. Like any twins you meet, you're going to like, you know, because we did like
supplement
and stuff like that. So we're around a lot of twins because like, in work and stuff like that. So like over the years, we've worked with lots of twins. And it's like when you're fighting with your twin, we said it's like biting your own arm because you're just like you're fighting, but you can't win because they know you really well. It's like fighting with yourself, basically.
Wow, that is really interesting.
You're so alike. So it's really, you know, because like some people, you and maybe do like a head psych or something, you know, because you might like, you know a little bit more, but your twin knows you really well. So it's really hard to fight with your twin and win. It's like, it just goes round and round and round
Isn't that interesting?
Hours. Yeah.
That is so interesting. But I want to know, like, most twins usually have the same hairstyle, have the same kind of fashion sense. Now, what if one wants to cut their hair up and one wants it long? Wouldn't that cause an argument? Because there's so many more benefits of being exactly the same.
Yeah, not really. Like, my sister and I, like, we both like long hair. We both, you know, like being fit. So, you know, we're pretty on the same page with that. We know other twins. One's gay, one's straight. There's two guys. One's gay, one's straight. And then there's, you know, twins that, you know, one might pick up weight or another one gets married. And, you know, so with twins, but for me, like, I'm like, whatever she wants to do, like, it's fine. I wear my hair parted down the middle. She wears hers over to the side. So we both have we look alike, but we don't look exactly alike. But I don't really care, like, yeah, if she cuts her hair, but I don't think she ever would, because we both like long hair. So,
same, but your bodies, your weight, your basic
imagine two Barbaras being out there. Yeah, if you had two Barbaras, would you want to be like 20 or 30 pounds heavier than your twin? No, you're going to want to look good. You're always going to keep yourself in your game, because you're always going to want to look good, because you get this other person that looks just like you.
It's like it gives you an edge a little bit too, because, and also with just mentally, it keeps you strong with that, what you just said, but you have somebody to lean on. You have somebody that always has your back. You never feel alone, which would seem like you would not be depressed ever. It keeps you like happy. That's fortunate to have a twin.
It's like having a best friend all the time, because you share all these experiences, like the first day of school, the first day of kindergarten, the first day. So you have like all of these things that you go through together. Sorry, I'm going to take this alarm off. You have like all these things that you go through together, which is really the same birthday. Exactly. So you just are celebrating all of these milestones together.
December 2nd.
So, yeah. Exactly. We're
December
Sagittarius.
2nd.
Yeah. Exactly.
Sagittarius. And do you know that? Well, I know you so well, but then when you interview somebody, you still want to, you know, look them up. So I saw that your birthday was December 2nd, and then I saw the year, we won't say, but you and I and Rosie are the same age. Exactly. Well, not exactly.
Oh, wow.
I was born in August. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. I always thought you were younger. Uh-huh. Wow. Oh, wow.
No. I love
that's so cool. That is, and you know what's so cool too, because we did Playboy at such a young age, so you had your whole modeling career ahead of you, because it's like you were so young when you did it, you know, so there's so much work, you know, that you can do.
But you probably
would not have gotten
it. I mean, you probably wouldn't have gotten it if you weren't around 23, 24, because 23 is the main age. That is the statistic that is usually the age of a playmate. I was 24.
Oh, I didn't know that.
But
I didn't realize that. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Because
I think I did it when I was like 18 or 19. I was fairly young. So when I did it, it was just, I think I might have been like 19 or maybe like 18 or 19. I think it was Playmate of the Year when I was 19, but I was actually fairly young to have done it.
Yes,
but,
you were more
so
young.
Fun.
And I was 24 and you were under this average age. So that's kind of cool. And that's why when I came along in 1992, you were a playmate in 89. So that's why you probably thought, maybe she's younger. See? But we are exactly the same.
And I knew the ropes, you know, because I'd been there a couple years before. I don't even remember why I was at the mansion, but I think you know what happened to me? Funny story here. I was living in Idaho, and then I was like, you know, I'd won Playmate of the Year. And so the first time I was a playmate, I wasn't really working a lot because I was in Idaho and they had to fly me, you know, to go and do the work and stuff. So I remember Lori Hart, who worked with Playboy, was like, if you ever want to work a lot, you're going to have to move to LA. So do you remember Carrie Cannell, the playmate that, you know, saved the animals? that one. I met Carrie Cadell, and she was looking for a roommate. So I was like, okay, great. You know, I actually need a roommate. So she was like, perfect. So and this is the time I had a fiance. So I broke up with my fiance. I loaded everything into my Toyota Celica, and I had all my clothing, and I drove from Idaho, you know, like to go move in with Carrie Cadell. So, and I just had her phone number, and she, because she lived in Park La Brea. So I go do all this stuff, and I'm so excited. I can't wait to get there. And then when I get there and I call Carrie, I'm like, hey, girl, I'm downstairs, you know, can you let me in? And she's like, I'm in New York. And I'm like, huh? She's like, she forgot about me. So she forgot I was even coming. So then I'm like, well, hey, you know, well, do you have some keys or something? And she was like, no, I'm probably not going to be back for like a month because I'm dating this guy. And I was like, huh? You know, so now here I am. I'm in my Toyota Celica. I've dumped my dude. I've got nowhere to go. I'm just like, I don't know.
That's horrible, Renee.
Isn't it horrible?
That is so irresponsible.
Yeah.
I don't even like this
story
at all.
Yeah. So then it gets better. It gets better. So then I'm kind of like, what am I going to do? So then I called the mansion, you know, because I was been shot, you know, my stuff there. And I was like, hey, it's, you know, it's Renee. I kind of need a little bit of time to chill out and you know, kind of get figure out what my game plan here is because, you know, so they were like, well, you can come stay for the night. So I go there, and then I run into Kimberly. I'm like over there, and I'm telling her, like, what happened to me? And she's like, you poor thing. You poor, poor thing. You know what, Renee? Tell you what. Forget Carrie. You don't need to stay there. You know what? You can stay, and you can move in here, and I'm going to put you in the game room. And you can stay in the game room. Is it? Would that be okay? And I was like,
Oh, my goodness. That would be wonderful.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Be wonderful.
And so you've got to live at the Playboy Mansion?
Yeah, I got to live at the Playboy Mansion for, like, 4 months. And, you know, like, the game room, you know, there was, like, the orange and the blue one. So I had, like, one in the game room. And then, and then so, like, I went from this chick that had nowhere to stay.
To that.
And
that's the magic of Playboy. And that's wonderful.
You came across my path was when I was living at the mansion because of Carrie. And she did the thing so that I remember I was staying there. So I was kind of like, and then I think you came in and you were testing. And then that was when I was living at the mansion.
Oh, because I didn't even know you were living there.
I was living in the, and then I was friends with Kimberly. So then I would hang out with her. So that's why when she had Marston and Cooper, I remember I used to hang out with her because those guys were little, like really like babies.
Right.
She just had
in
them.
High
so,
chair.
Yeah.
So Cooper was
yeah.
in high chair when I came along.
Exactly.
Oh my gosh.
Exactly.
That is wonderful.
That's why. Yeah.
Okay. So everybody who's listening, just so you know, Kimberly, that was Kimberly Hefner, Hef's wife, that invited her to stay there. So that was absolutely amazing. That story turned out actually in your favor. And I don't know how they treated just Carrie Cadell after that, but that was not cool. And that's not normal usually for a person to be that way.
Yeah, I saw Carrie.
That wasn't normal.
She's like, she's doing animal rescue. So she's really salt of the earth. I don't even remember what happened. But
so she is a nice
person. She's actually, she's really cool. She does like animal rescues and decide I had no heart. I was actually kind of happy.
Well, that's cool. I never got to know her personally, but if I have her on for this series, I'm going to talk to her about that.
Exactly.
But Renee, okay, so the first question really with this Playboy Playmate series is, and let me, before I ask you the question, tell you why. This is a question that I get asked more than any other question regarding Playboy. So I just thought, hey, Johnny, let's do a series on this, and let's start off with this question because then it opens everything up, even though we've already opened up because you and I know each other really well. But here is the burning question. How did you become a Playboy Playmate?
Oh, my God. Okay. So I was in Idaho, and there was a Halloween contest, and my boyfriend at the time, he got Playboy. And I would look at all the girls, like Ava Fabian, Pamela Stein, Devin, all of those girls, and I just thought they were so pretty. And so I was like, you know what? I'm going to go as a bunny. Mm-hmm. So I had this cute little white dress, and I got a pair of like little white ears, and then I had like a bunny tail. And so then I went like as a Playboy bunny, and it came down between me and a green M&M. But the green M&M, like her little outfit was pretty damn cute, even if I do say so myself. It was kind of fat. It was cute. So anyway, so she won. So then I lost, and I came off the thing. And then my boyfriend at the time was like, you know what? He's like, I swear. He's like, you could do Playboy. He's like, Playboy would take you. You could be a playmate. And so he kind of planted the seed, and he got the magazine, because I didn't really, you know about Playboy until I would see the playmates and stuff, and I just thought they were so pretty. So then I just went, took some photos at a local photographer. I went and took some little, you know, bikini shots and stuff like that, and then I sent them. But I'd sent mine in to Chicago. I didn't actually go through
LA.
But
wait, did you call them first? Did you call Playboy?
No, no. You know what? They were having a search for the 35th anniversary playmate. They were having the search for that. And so I sent my photos into that. And they had 14,000 entries, and they narrowed it down to 14 girls. And I was one of the 14. Yeah. But then I had done the Miss Idaho pageant at the same time, and there was only like 12 girls in this pageant. And so I remember I was kind of like, you know, I thought I should have won. You know, I was like, I got this, man. I'm doing like 12 girls. I got this cute dress. I got this. So this is like the week before I got notified by Playboy, and so I was kind of like, I was so certain. I was like, I'd done everything right. I got all the answers right. I should have, you know, I should have won. But anyway, I didn't place. And I was like, what? I was like, I couldn't believe it. I didn't even place in this contest, and it was just like, I felt so bad. I was like, I can't even believe I didn't even place. I wasn't even in the top five. So then that was like that weekend. And then on Monday, I got a phone call, you know, because I just was so sad. But then on that Monday, I got a phone call, and then they were like, you know what, you were selected as one of these 14 girls that they want to shoot for Playboy. So then my whole, you know, everything changed, because I went from being the saddest girl in the world to like the happiest girl in the world. So
Playboy
Chicago.
Too.
Yeah, exactly. And then I was like, you know what, out of these little 12 Muesli girls, they didn't even place in the top five, but out of these other ones, there was 14,000, and I got the top 14.
Yeah.
So then that was for 89, which I didn't win. They had Fauna McLaren, and she was the 30. That was the search I was in.
Right.
I remember that.
I saw her in your year.
Yes. She was so pretty. So she won the 35th anniversary search. Yeah.
I have some inside scoop on that. Marilyn Grabowski, because I was asking Alexis Vogel, who we did a tribute to on this show, I was asking her, okay, so how did they narrow it down? And, you know, we're talking about Fauna and that she won. And Alexis told me it's because she looks like Marilyn. Marilyn sees herself in Fauna, and that's why she was chosen.
Yeah, I mean, well, Fauna was good. And Fauna,
well, she's
Fauna
very
definitely,
beautiful, and I really love
she's
her.
She's beautiful,
she
she's photographed great.
But she does
but then I remember,
look like Marilyn.
Yeah, I remember Arnie Freitag said, you know what, Renee? He said, you don't want the 35th, because I was so disappointed I didn't win. And he goes, you don't want the 35th. He says, you want Playmate of the Year. And I remember I was like, what? And he was like, he's like, they've never had an anniversary Playmate wins Playmate of the Year. They just get the anniversary. He says, so don't worry about that. Because I remember I was so bummed. And he was like, no. He goes, but he goes,
so true,
never
though.
Had an African-American Playmate of the Year. He goes, if you got that, he's like, it would change your whole life. And I was like, what? Because I had no idea, because I didn't really know Playboy. I didn't know there was no Black Playmate of the Year. I didn't know any of this stuff. So like, he was like,
I didn't even know there was a Playmate of the Year at all when I became a Playmate. So I was happy with just Playmate of the Month.
We were kind of like, we were probably just happy just to be in there. But so then he kept telling me, he's like, if they pick you, it's going to change your world. So, but then everybody was like, they won't pick you because you are Black. So then I was kind of like, well, that kind of sucks. You know? But then I was like, well, we'll see. But then Hef was kind of like, I remember Kimberly was like, Hef wants to meet you. So then, you know, because he wanted to see what I was like. So that's like, if you, you know, when they were considering you for Playmate of the Year, he actually wanted to sit down, meet with you, talk with you, you know, and
right.
just get to know you because you were representing the brand. So I remember she was like, mm-hmm. he wants to, but I was scared. I was so scared to go to that.
Yeah, because you're very young. You're only
19
years old.
I was 19, and I remember I was like, oh, my God. I was like, this is, like, so scary, and it's, like, him and his friends and her and all these people. And I think I can remember Stephen Wade. I don't remember. But anyway, so I did my little dinner. But it was, you know, but I was actually friends with her, so that made it easier for me because I knew her. So it wasn't.
With Kimberly.
Yeah, I knew Kimberly, so
right.
it definitely, you know, and then he just was like, he was so down to earth, and he was like telling me all of these songs, you know, that were like, you know, there's a song called Someday Renee, and he was like telling me all of these things, like, you know, about my name and about these songs, and
oh,
then I was
wow.
just like, you know what, he's like, he's just so, because he was actually trying to make me feel comfortable, so then he was like, let me tell you some fun facts about Idaho, so then he was like telling me all
of this
stuff, yeah.
Because
so
I went,
then,
one
know,
of my
so,
questions
yeah.
was if you ever did have a real one-on-one conversation with him, because, you know, he was much older than us, and I never really had a very deep conversation with Hef. It was more like just kind of chummy, smaller talk, you know? So
yeah,
I always wanted
yeah.
to find that playmate who has had a really in-depth conversation. Was it, or was it just like,
it
okay,
wasn't, it wasn't
that
in
you're
depth,
smiling,
like you're saying.
Sweet.
Yeah, it wasn't in-depth, like, you know, but it was just more I got to know him. Because, but I think
right.
more importantly, he got to know me. I think it's what it
and
was.
And he saw,
like,
he saw the qualities
because,
in
yeah.
you.
Yeah, to make sure,
like,
because, it was to make sure that you would represent Playboy well, and because it was so much exposure and it was such a big deal, and it really was
right.
like when I did win, it was a life changing event, because I literally went from somebody that was working in Idaho at Hewlett Packard, you know, and then I went from being there to being like on Oprah, being on CNN, being on Larry King Live.
Right.
It was a major thing, and then at the time. Because when I had first started modeling, you didn't see a lot of black women on the cover. Naomi Campbell had just hit. Naomi Campbell just, you know, like she was,
right.
she just became everything. And then all of a sudden you started to see all these, in that year that I won, the first Miss USA, which I think was Carolyn Giss, was black. And then Debbie Turner, the Miss America, was black. And then myself was black. So that it was kind of really symbolic. But then, when I remember during my party, it looked like Hef had jumped on the bandwagon and had, because they said, oh, did you just pick Renee because the Miss USA is black and the Miss America is black? And he said, no. He says, I had actually picked her 5 months before these two were announced. He said, but I'm going to tell you what he did, which I really, this is one of the things people don't know about Hef, is he's like really into civil rights. He's really into like
oh,
equality.
Yeah.
And he was like, you know what?
And not only that,
yeah, he said,
way
yeah,
ahead of his
you
time,
know
right?
That. Yeah, he was way ahead of the curve. I mean, way out of it. But he was just like, you know what? He goes, I'm just sad it took me 35 years to get this girl up here. He goes, I should have had one of these. So, but, you know, that was the thing, which was really cool. And then
but,
like, when I started to,
Renee.
Yeah, in yeah.
Renee. But.
Yeah, yeah.
Renee, it was not because it was time for a black Playmate of the Year. It was because you were beautiful and you were right for that part.
Exactly.
That's what I love, the story that you're telling us.
Yeah, he had nothing to do with the
right.
fact that she was African American. He's like, I just liked her. But that's the thing
wow.
that a lot of people don't realize, that he's on that forefront, because I didn't realize he was the first one that published Alex Haley's writing. I didn't realize he was the first one to allow blacks into the Playboy Club when they weren't supposed to be in there, because they had segregated that stuff.
Right.
So there was a couple
yes.
Films that they do on Hef, like where it goes in and they talk about his impact on, like, you know, society and people of color. But boy, I swear, if you will totally look at that man a different way, aside from Playboy, because he really was
mm-hmm.
on the forefront of that. So I think that's where people are going to be like, oh my God, he's even cooler than what I thought, because he was actually
oh, yeah.
doing the
and he had
the way on that.
Sammy Davis Jr. on
exactly
yes, exactly.
Mm-hmm. So, but people
he
when
cared
you black,
on Playboy After Dark.
Yeah, that
he
was one
many.
But a lot of that stuff, he he was having these black entertainers come on when they weren't even supposed to be like coming in the clubs, but he actually had them on.
I know.
So that's the thing, like, yeah, which is really cool. And then I was so proud to be part of that history, so proud to be part of these beautiful women, you know, amongst yourself,
you know,
and everybody else.
I saw,
just such a great history.
I saw a list
quite
of,
amazing.
One time, I think it was Discovery Channel or something, they were doing a list of the top 50 greatest Americans of all time. And on the list were the understandable names like Abraham Lincoln, Thomas Jefferson, George Washington. But what's interesting is Hugh Hefner was on the list.
He should have been.
Should
yeah.
be.
You know what? And you know what's really interesting, too? When I was in, because I went to FITM, the Fashion Institute of Design and Merchandising, and I was in my history class. And they were going over history. So we were going over all these, like, people, like JFK, Marilyn Monroe, all of these historic things that had happened in history that really changed our society. And then the guy, like the professor, like, he just starts, his little eyes start to light up like a little Christmas tree when he starts talking about the sexual revolution. And he's just like, and the person who started this whole thing is Hugh Hefner. And then he just goes on. So he's actually in the history books over there as part of the person. This, and I was just like, and so I came up to the guy after the thing, and I said, you know what? I just said, I just have to tell you. I said, I actually, because he didn't know who I was or anything like that. I said, I actually was a playmate. And he was just like, oh, that guy was so blown away. But he was just like, he is one of the people that sparked this revolution. Because I was like,
yes.
And it's actually in the history book. It's like, it talks about how when he came out with Playboy, that just, and then it was, it made it okay for women to have an orgasm. It made it okay for women to enjoy sex. But they were saying prior to Hefner going out and saying, hey, women,
it wasn't.
It's okay to get your freak on. Yeah, you couldn't really do it without being called a whore. So,
right.
They said he kind of made it okay for women to go out and be a woman and just, you know, go do what the guys do, because you couldn't do it. Prior to that Playboy and that thing he did, they said that kind of,
yes.
all the gloves came off, like with sexuality, and it made it actually okay for us women to, you know, to go out and be sexual. So, you know, I
and
thank
he
you for that.
Is really in the study curriculum.
Yes, absolutely.
Then.
Absolutely. He's in the curriculum.
Wow.
If you go look, if you go in like the 55, because I believe that's when the first Playboy came out. But if you go look, they talk about what sparked the revolution, and it was that cover in Playboy, because that was like the first time when, you know, something like of that magazine
right.
actually have her on
Mid-December,
cover.
Mid-December,
so,
I remember,
yep.
Marilyn Monroe, 1953.
Mm-hmm.
1953.
It's in the history book, but yeah. And then, but you were really talking
I did
about
not
all
know
that.
Stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, but I remember I was pretty
so
sad.
So you really...
Like, wow.
You really are a piece of history.
A piece of,
and that must feel amazing.
We all are, but at the end of the day, it's like you're part of this world that Playboy that have created that makes everybody, any woman that appears in Playboy, any woman that goes, or, you know, that has done that, it just makes you part of that history, which, you know, and people to this day are like, oh, my God, you were my first crush or whatever. So it's, but it's
right.
so much fun, because then they tell me, like, when I saw my issue and all of that stuff. So you're part of their history of, like, you know, crushes and stuff like that, which is cool, too.
And I bet you're a part of his curriculum now, besides Hugh Hefner. I bet on all of his classes after you came and introduced yourself as, like, I bet.
You didn't
now,
know. Yeah, I don't even know. Yeah, you just, we laugh.
As part of our
like,
alumni
yeah.
is Renee Tennyson. And that is amazing. And this is what I also love about Johnny, too, because he understands that people out there don't understand that we are way more than just a pretty face and a great body. There's a lot more upstairs than people give us credit for, still to this day. And Johnny said, anybody who doesn't agree with our Playboy Playmate series, you know, there's no room for that here, because we are women of substance, and we
Absolutely.
Are more than, yes. And that I want to credit Johnny for.
It doesn't define you. It definitely doesn't define you. And like I said, and there's so many creative aspects, and Playboy is just part of a creation as well. That's just part of your, you know, your expression of how you see yourself, or how you, you know, you're just part of history. And
right.
But I definitely believe Playmates have a lot to offer. There's Playboy, or people in general that have posed in Playboy. It's just, I think it's just one of those things. Everybody, you know, that has done it, they're proud of it. Like I I just think, yes. And then, but then once you do it, you go in and you reinvent yourself. You know, you go in and become a radio host. You go in and become a successful model. So it's like that's stepping stone to open up all these doors, which it truly
is really
for
opens.
Me and yourself. Because back in the day when we did it, yeah, you were
so
more
much.
Of a celebrity. Yeah, because it was Playmates were actually very famous back then. I definitely think probably more famous back than now. Yeah,
instantaneous. Celebrityism, and that's what they prepare you for too, which is wonderful. But I would like to know, there's an actual catch to this. Since you are an identical twin, okay, did you have to go and ask Rosie, would this be okay if I pose for Playboy? Because basically they're going to be knowing what your body looks like too, uncovered. Because we're identical. How did
she's
that
here.
Go down?
Yeah, she's here. She knows the story. She asked the story about like what happened when I posed for Playboy. No, it's okay. I'll set it up over here. I'll set it up. So
okay.
I was going to go do the Playboy. So I said, hey, you know, I was like, I'm thinking about sending my photos in the Playboy. And I was like, what do you think? You know, and she's like, no, I sent my photos in. And they had called. And then I was like, hey, you know, I got Playboy wants me to fly out to Chicago and, you know, do you want to do it? Because I told him I have a twin. And then she was like, no, I'm not going to do it. And then furthermore, everybody's going to think you're a sleaze. And I was like, what? And she was like, yeah. And I was like, well, okay. And then I was like, I'm going to go do it anyway. And they can think I'm sleazy. I was like, but I don't care. I know I'm not. And then she was like, okay. She's like, whatever. We'll see how that works for you. I was like, okay.
So
then, like,
because
she
wasn't walking in your shoes at that moment. Because even though you're an identical twin, you're living your daily different life. And you're into
I was shy. I was shy. I never really bought. I'm sorry. I have to get out of this story. Say, hey, Barbara, how are you? Anyway, I was like shy. I hadn't really modeled. And then, you know, and I was being a prude. And actually, I had a jealous boyfriend too at the time. And then, when he found out, of course, she had a twin, then he wanted us both to do it. So then I was like, yeah, he wanted us to pose together. So, he always wanted us to pose together. But, you know, and then he was like, I know there's two of you, so the only thing better than one would be two. But by then, you know, by then it was too late. And then I had really questioned my choice there, because then my sister ended up winning the Playmate of the Year. And then, so she got like $100,000. She got like a car. She got all this fame and notoriety. And meanwhile, I was over there working at like Albertsons, you know, the grocery store, or like the warehouse where you pack the boxes. And I was working on the night shift, you know, like the 50 hours a week. So I was like, while she was living at the mansion, dating that Chippendale. And then that's when I came back and I quit my job and I moved to LA. And that's how
Rosie, this is incredible. I didn't know all of that.
That's pretty much how it went down. Yeah, I saw the Chippendales, I saw the mansion, I saw LA, and then I came. So that's basically was Rosie's little story. So then she was feeling kind of weird because then I got all the fame, I got the fortune. And she.
But I understand. But see, another thing I read too just today that. In your year that you were a Playmate, there was a twin layout, wasn't there?
Who was it?
I read it, and it was, okay,
oh,
I put it on my note, Karen,
right.
And Mirjam. Karen and Mirjam
Rasputin.
September, mid-September.
Yeah, you're right, the blonde twins. And because Rosie passed, but then he wanted twins. Because they were like, you could be the first twins, then the twins were in my year. Yeah, you're right. I forgot about this.
Now Rosie may regret that a little bit, but it all worked out really well because I
think
I modeled more with Rosie than you. I modeled with her more.
Yeah, exactly.
Not that
yeah,
she was getting more, but I mean, she got her share of modeling.
She did.
Work,
yeah, she did.
Sure.
And she definitely did more modeling. I went more acting, but then Hef was always like, you know, whenever I'd see him, he was always like, I have to have you guys pose. And then I'd gone to a party over at Devin's house, and Hef was there at the party. And then I don't know, is this in the picture with Hef at Devin's house? But anyway, he when I saw him, he was like, I need to talk to you. And so I went over, and he was like, I have always, you know, that's my biggest regret, that you and your sister didn't pose together in Playboy.
Wow.
And he's like, I will fly you and your sister anywhere in the world. He's like, I will pay you. He's like, I just want to shoot you guys in a pictorial together. He's like, so.
And this was like 10 years after, right?
This was
10
this
years.
2002? Yeah, something like that. It was like 2000,
whoa,
something like that.
I looked that up too,
and then
Renee.
Yeah, and then
he
approached
that up.
Me, and he said, I will pay. So then we were talking to the guys over at Playboy, and they were kind of like, pick somewhere Playboy hasn't shot, because we were like, well, what about Tahiti and the Bahamas? And they were like, no, they've shot there. They said, and then this guy who was one of the guys, the production assistant, said the only place they haven't shot is Cuba. And
Cuba.
Then he said, pick Cuba. And yeah, so then we picked Cuba. And then that's where we shot that tutorial, was in Cuba.
Was that
yeah,
cool?
Which, but when we got over
something.
There.
Can I say something?
Yeah, go ahead.
I am from my parents, my father's from Cuba. And, and I mean, that was brave of you to choose that. I mean, I personally, to be honest, I probably would have chosen Antarctica over that. I mean,
well, yeah.
Why was
yeah.
it dangerous at that time?
Well,
yeah,
you know,
no, it kind of it got hairy. It got hairy because
Castro.
Yeah, it did get kind of hairy for us because they had to get permission from Castro, and he was like, cool. And so he had given Playboy carte blanche, and they were spending a fortune on this photo shoot. It cost so much money. But then, and we were supposed to fly from Cuba to Belize. But then, on the third day of shooting, when we got into Cuba, or maybe the fourth, maybe three or four days into shooting, Castro got pissed. So he was like, so they were kind of like, everybody was kind of worried because the production people were like, oh my God, Castro's is bugging out because of the photo shoot. So then Playboy got scared because we weren't done shooting, but they were like, fuck this. Let's get on a plane. Let's get out of here. Because we didn't want him to keep us in Cuba. So then we ended up shooting because we were with Stephen Weta there, and we just said, fuck it, let's jump off the plane and get out of here. And then we just flew back to the United States. But it was so scary because when we were over there, it's like it was definitely – it wasn't glamorous like you think, but it got kind of scary on that last day.
So Johnny knows that. That is scary. I remember I did a Playmate promotion in over in Russia, and it was scary at that time, but not probably the same kind of experience
you
had.
You got to understand something, not to jump in, but I mean, it's a place. I think I told this story on, you know, Castro ran everything. Like when my father was a kid, he actually put a thing in, there's a hurricane that almost hit Cuba, but didn't hurt it. And then Fidel Castro put this in the papers. He said, Fidel Castro chases away hurricane with his airplane.
Yeah.
Okay. So,
now nobody believes it, but nobody says anything.
Mentality.
But yeah, no,
that's
he felt like he owned the fish. No, he felt like, because we were talking to the people and they were like, he feels he owns the fish in the water. He's like that.
Just
so I was
everything.
Like, really?
He owns it all.
They were like, yeah, he's like a dictator. But we were kind of like, and then I was like, do I really want to be stuck in a jail over here with this guy that like says he owns the fish in the water? I was like, nah.
No way.
Yeah,
thank
so we laughed.
Goodness you got out of there.
Yeah,
but
we got beautiful photos.
That pictorial was gorgeous, by the way, you and Renee. I mean, you and Rosie was absolutely gorgeous together in that pictorial.
Thank you. It was fun. It was fun to get to do it. And it was one of these, you know, once in a lifetime things you'll never forget. So, and that's what I always tell people, like Playboy, just, it opened the door to so many opportunities, so many friends, so many places that you would never get to go to, and they paid for it. You know, you could go all over
and
the
no
world.
Regrets now,
yeah,
because
no
now
regrets,
Rosie
no regrets,
had
yeah.
her time too with Playboy, and everybody appreciated her. And then it was more, okay, now we've leveled off, it's equal, and all is well. And just so much transpired. And that leads me to my next question. Okay, because I modeled a lot with both of you for a lot of catalogs. And then, here's my question. Did you guys ever stand in for the other on photo shoots maybe that you couldn't make? When we don't have that luxury as being just one
yeah.
person, if you can't make it, you have to make that dreaded phone call. Oh, my gosh, I have an emergency or something
yeah.
came up and you're going to let down so many people. But then, no, you in your back pocket, I've got somebody
yeah.
who's just like me. Send her. So did this happen often?
That did happen. It happened to me on two occasions. One was with Playboy. And Playboy was doing a Real Men Don't Watch pregame. I don't know if you remember that. It was in the Bahamas. And
yes.
they had flown me and, like, maybe, like, 20 playmates to the Bahamas. And we were doing, like, some pregame show, like, where we were, like, frolicking around in the water and having, like, fun. So that was like, but it was live, like on Playboy. I think it was like on the channel. So like when they were doing like the Super Bowl, instead of watching the pregame, you could watch the Playmates. Well, anyway, I had also booked Married with Children at the time. So my sister, but I didn't want to turn the job down. So I was like, and she needed money and she was kind of had just got here. So I was like, you know what, just go to the job, just act like you're me, you know, and it'll be cool. So she goes to Married with Children, and so she's acting like she's me this whole entire time. Like, she's got this part. She's working, like, with Lisa Boyle and a couple other playmates and stuff like that. She's just pulling it off, and she's acting like it's me. Well, one of the writers was my friend named Matt. And so then Matt's kind of like, hey, girl, what's up? You know, and Rosie's kind of like, and then she's like, there's this guy. And I was like, act like you know him. Just be, like, really cool. So then, like, my sister was just like, being, like, overly cool to him. Just like, they were, like, the best friends, like, you know.
Really
so then
cool.
Matt was like, I really, like, you're so cool. You know, but she was being, like, you know, just like, beyond cool to this guy. So then, like, they're both sitting there, like, watching the TV. And then all of a sudden, the Real Men Don't Watch pregame live comes on. And so he's, like, looking at it, and he's like, wow. He's like, that says Renee Tennyson. And he's, like, looking, and he's like, yeah, how can you be here, like, and be in the Bahamas at the same time? And then Rosie was like, you know, that was pre-recorded. She just starts lying. And she tells him, like, it's me. I'm here with you. And so he's kind of like, oh, okay. For a minute, I thought it was live. And she was like, no, it's like, you know, it's recorded. Although it was live. Like, years later, we tell this guy, like, you know, the story, and he just, like, he loves it. Every time he sees it, he's just like, he loves the story because, like, literally, you got busted. You know what I mean? So, like,
you got busted, but it wasn't bad. Was there ever a bad thing where it went awry?
There was a bad
awry?
One where we had booked.
Tell us about
commercial.
That one.
I had booked like a Ford commercial, a car commercial, and I had also booked a thing for Robinson's May at the time. It was a clothing company, so of course I'm going to go do the commercial for Ford. And it was only supposed to be a one-day shoot. Well, it was kind of foggy and all this stuff happened, so they didn't get all the shots. So I needed to shoot the next day. But I also had booked the Robinson's May the following day. So then I had told my sister, I was like, hey, just go to this job, act like you're me, you know. And so she gets there, and she's, like, working, like, with this makeup artist that had done her makeup for Fredericks of Hollywood. And so then the lady's like, oh, my God, it's so freaky. You have the same scars, like, that Rosie has. And then Rosie was like, I know. Isn't it freaky? But it actually was Rosie. So she's like over there, she's lying for like the whole day. She's lying, she's lying. She knows all that, she knows like a lot of these people, but she's like lying the whole entire day. Well, at the end of the day, they're like, you know what, we need to book you for tomorrow. But Rosie was like, no. So then she called, you called, something happened. And then they called her agent. And then the agent was like, well, she's actually, she's not on Robinson's Maze. She's actually on the beach in Malibu. And then they're like, no, she's sitting right here with us. And they're like, no. I've got confirmation. She's in Malibu and they're doing another day. So she's not available. So then Rosie says she looks over and she sees like the whole entire crew is coming towards her. And they're like,
looking at her.
Who are you? Who are you? And then she's like, what do you mean? They're like, we know you're not Renee. We know you're not who you say you are, but we're like, we don't care. And she's like, I'm Rosie, I'm her sister. So that's what she gets.
Wow.
And then the director's like, I don't give a fuck who you are. All I know is you need to be here tomorrow. So this like, I don't give a fuck who you are. But you have to be here tomorrow to do the pickup.
But it was for my sister.
Yeah, for her.
Talk about anxiety the whole day.
But they laugh. You know, the people laugh. They're just like some of their favorite stories. You know, like they get busted. So stuff like that. It's really great because you can.
Okay.
Eat at two
places. What did you do with
so.
The money? Say she did this for you, or vice versa. Then okay, the money. That was
yeah.
Me.
Normally,
did you just split it?
I let her have it because she had just came to LA and was just starting out modeling. So I let
yeah.
her have it because I was actually
and,
going
and,
to
and
buy
gone through
it.
Gone through
I have
hell
a question,
by the way
no.
for that day.
Yeah.
Yes,
I
Johnny.
Have you ever done any work with the Barbie twins or any other Playmate twins?
Yes, we did.
But they're not Playmates.
The Barbie twins with.
I believe it might have been Sally, Jesse, Raphael. We did, my sister and I, we did Double Men. So we worked with a ton. We worked with Tian Tamara. We worked with a ton of twins. Oh, well, actually, and then, but that's why I was saying twins are kind of like, you know, they're like freaky, but triplets are like, they're just totally freaky because there's three
really
people that look alike.
Well, you know,
yeah, because like, you know, people are like, yeah.
Triplets
freak me out.
There are twins that we've been trying to get on the show. They're psychics. They're the Jenna Jamesons and the Linda. They're the psychic twins. And we wanted
and
to get them
on. You were trying
to
get them on. I've never heard of this before.
They're just the psychics. And I always thought it was kind of interesting, you know, if you ever get them on to have a read for another set of twins. You know?
That'd be cool.
Yeah, twins are cool. My sister dated a twin too, so like you know, twins are cool. Like they're cool, but they can be a little freaky. And then when you throw a triplet in there, it's just like. And then the triplets, you know, from a lot of triplets I know, it's like a really weird dynamic because then usually two of the triplets are friends, and then one's on the outside.
Yeah, because three's a crowd.
One triplet gets left out in the cold. Yeah, and
sure,
then that triplet,
three's
like,
a total crowd.
Yeah. Yeah, because when we did Double Men, they would interview. Yeah, lots of triplets,
double
too.
Double Men. Elvis was a twin. So.
Oh, that's right. Could you imagine if there were two of him? Oh, my God.
I know. And the same thing that happened to my twin at birth, the Aaron was
the
same. Elvis's Aaron, and he died at birth. But mine were never going to be identical. And this is amazing when that happens. And do you feel special that you are a twin?
Absolutely. I definitely, you know, people are always like, it just gives you an extra added advantage because it's always like people always take a double look. They always like, oh my God, because you're similar in height, you're similar in size. They're like, and everybody loves twins, let's face it. So when they see you, it makes them smile, you know, it does.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh my God.
It's always like,
and then when you're,
positive.
Yeah, it's always like a smile. I think it makes
smile.
You smile when you see two little beings that look alike. It makes you smile for sure.
And both of you have always been so upbeat and positive and smiling, and it gives you that little edge. You always have, like we were talking about before the show, that it's like you always have each other to lean on. You have
you
each other's back. That's special.
Which is important
that's
in LA because LA
wonderful.
Is tough. You know, LA is tough for sure.
Oh yeah, it is tough. But you know what? What is so great is Playboy, and that opens so many doors. I read that you've done over 30 national commercials. That's amazing. That's a lot. That is a lot.
Yeah. 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 I mean, but you think about, you know, over the time we've been here, it's been so long, and we started like in the 90s. So it's like, you know, your body of work, it's over the years. So, yeah, it's easy to do.
And you were on Price is Right. And, you know, I grew up watching Price is Right. I love that show.
But my sister did more of that show. I did a few shows, but she actually did more. And then we worked some, like we did a lot of work together, like, which was fun because we did like Coors Light and just a ton of work together, which was really fun.
Okay.
A lot of television
shows. It evolved into then they would hire you both, and would it be like they would say, okay, if you could do it, then you do it. If she's available, she does it. Or was it really?
Well, no, she did more modeling than me, and I did more acting. But then when we were acting, like we would have like parts written in for us. Like Steve Harvey wrote a part in for Rosie and I, so then we would have parts written for us. Like or Martin, we did like the Martin show, and they wrote a part in for us. So like we were always doing stuff where, you know, Arsenio Hall he'd written a part where there were these two little white girls, that were drinking. Chocolate milk. These little white twins were drinking chocolate milk, and then the he'd written the skit, and then he said, "When I grow up, I want to be just like." And then they snapped, and then it turned into Rosie and I. So people were always doing that kind of fun stuff with twins because it just gives you a little extra added, you know, benefit because there's two of you, so they can have more fun with it, which is cool.
Thank goodness that you went with the decision to actually go forward with the whole Playboy, because I know shortly after that, Rosie must have thought, okay, yes, this is the Girl Next Door stuff. This is the whole thing.
It is,
You know,
and
people, they don't know.
Scandalous.
They don't
know right away. They don't. And then, like I was saying, like when you do go to Playboy shoots, they're so professional. They're so, you know, it's all about the picture. You know what I mean? There's nothing.
You don't even feel nude.
No, exactly. You know, and then matter of fact, you know, they're just all about the photo. They're all about the lighting. They're all about, they could give a rat's ass less if they're naked. They're just trying to get the image. So, you
they're
know,
not getting all
really,
excited, people.
No,
I mean,
not
I get
at
that
all.
Question all the time. And, or are we, like, what are you thinking when you're doing the post? No, we're thinking of making that photograph perfect.
Yeah, the shoes
and
are too small.
That's on our mind.
Kind of hot.
Lots
you
different
know,
than porn.
Exactly.
You know, this is art. This is definitely art. Wow, this is wonderful. Okay, so Ben, I want you to take us through, because I've never even heard of what happens when you get Playmate of the Year. And I've been at all of the Playmate of the Year luncheons, which are amazing. It's like a sorority of all of us. We get to see all of our friends at the same time, the same day. Wonderful. But what happens the next day and all throughout the year? What requirements are there of you?
Oh, my God.
You get $100,000, you get a brand new car, and then what?
You were on, like, on mine. I was on, like, a 30 or 40-day tour. So as soon as I you know, that you do all the press, of course, from your PMOY, and because it was the thing where it was it had broken a barrier for Playboy, it was on everything. So like literally, I was flying to DC, I was flying to New York, I was flying to, I actually had it's a funny story. I had a book signing in New York, and there were thousands of people at this book signing. I was signing magazines. And I remember I was in the New York Playboy office, and all of a sudden I'm getting ready to go to do my book signing. And then Cindy Rakowitz is like, I have to tell you something. And I was like, what? And she was like, we got a death threat. And I was like, what? And she was like, yeah. She's like, this guy says, if you come and you sign if you come to the signing, he's going to shoot you. And I'm like, oh my God.
Oh my God.
So I was like, I asked Cindy, I'm like, well, what would you do? And she was like, well, you know, we've got, because they had this, I think it's Neil Spots. He was like from the former FBI guy. She's like, so we'll bring in the security with you, because you always traveled with security anyway, like in New York and stuff. And they're like, we'll bring him in, we'll shelter you. But she's like, there's, and I was like, well, how many people are there? It's like, is there a lot of people? And she's like, there's like over 1,000. And then she's like, but it just depends, you know, do you want to let this guy ruin your day? And I was like, you know what?
No.
I was like, you're right. I was like, and then she's like, we'll bring you in. We'll guard you when you come in. She's like, I think he's bluffing. And I was like, you know what? You're right. I was like, I'm not going to let this fool that called up. So I went, I did my book signing. So that was like, it's kind of scary, like when I was in New York, but they had me going like all over the, basically the whole East Coast, West Coast, like everywhere. So
wow.
You're just constantly.
So you you're earning that $100,000.
Oh God.
Did they find out why there was a death threat?
He was mad because I was African American. Yeah. And then she was
like,
this isn't right.
Goodness.
He's trying to spoil. Yeah. And then I was like, you know what? I was like, he was mad because I was black and I'd won. And he was like a racist. But I was like, you know what? I was like, for that alone, I'm not going to let this guy win and steal my shine.
Good for you.
Because he was mad because I was African American. But then that kind of pissed me off, because then I was like, why should this fool go in and ruin my little thing? You know, I was like, they're not going to hear about the death threat. They're just going to hear that I canceled, you know, and then I'm just going to look really bad.
Right.
So,
but that
still,
that took a lot of courage, because you don't
really
know.
Yeah, and then Playboy, you know, what they do is, because they send you to, like, all these classes, and they have you, you know, before you go do this tour, you know, they have to send you to all of these classes where you're doing, like, tons of interviews, and they're teaching you of, like, what to say, and so when you go to do this, it's not quite as scary, because otherwise if you just got thrown, like, you know, onto this, because when I went to Oprah, they had had things that had broken down, it was like, I think it was sex symbols of the 90s, and I was on there with, like, Willie Galt and Rachel McLeish, and the one of the housewives was on the show, I believe, but anyway, but we were on that show, and I remember when I was sitting there on the panel, there was this lady, and she was like really angry at me. She was so mad. And so she kept telling Oprah, I have a question I want to ask her. And then Oprah was like, well, what's the question? And she's like, I want to know, like, she set women's rights back. And oh, she was really pissed off, because she felt like I had set women's rights back, and, you know, and I was like, because she was a feminist, and I was like some, you know, chick that had posed nude that had set women back like 50 years, you know. And I remember I was so happy, because I was like, oh my God. And then they were coming back, you know, to be like, hey, we're back, you know. So I was like, oh my God, because I was like, waiting for it to go and get that lady. But then she didn't go to her, so the lady kept jumping up. And then I remember I was so grateful that Oprah was like, she was just like, she's like, I'm proud of you. So, but she didn't go to the lady, because I was like, I'm going down, because this lady was so mad. She was so angry. But I was like, what am I going to say? But then I was just like, you know what? I'm going to tell her, you know what? If you believe in women's rights, well, I believe in my own rights. And my own rights,
yes.
I wanted to do Playboy, so sit down.
Yeah.
I have the right to
have to do with the other.
Yeah.
You really dealt with a lot,
rights,
Renee.
Yeah,
really,
so, yeah, but that,
dealt
thank God,
with a
Playboy,
lot.
Yeah, Playboy kind of, they had you doing, like, of these things. I think they did it with all the Playmates of the Years, because you were doing media. You were doing situations where you had people, you know. I went on another thing where I had this preacher that was kind of, you know, he was kind of like, Playboy had mentioned the fact, because my mom is white, so they had mentioned that in the article. And so then he was kind of like, well, you know, so he was kind of upset with me. So he was kind of like, I need to talk to you. So then he explained his situation. And I said, well, yeah, I said, you know, my mom is white. I said, but for, you know, and you know, the fact that they did say I'm African-American, but I said it wouldn't be right to denounce her, because, you know, I wasn't saying, you know what I mean? So there's all these different facets, like when you went to go do these interviews that would pop up where people had – they took issue with things that were said, or the feminist, or, you know, your race or whatever. So it was kind of good, because Playboy just didn't throw you out to the wolves. They actually had done some little interviews with you. So you were used to trying to be able to debate this stuff. Yeah.
But we don't want to downplay you as an individual, because basically you were really at the right place at the right time. Because you handled all of this with such grace and with an upbeat attitude, because this is not easy. This is not an easy topic, this racism. And you've dealt with that. And here, you deserve to feel proud of your accomplishments. But then on top of that, you had to deal with this. I commend you. I really
Thank you. And it was an honor. Like I said, it was an honor to be picked. It was an honor to represent. And, you know, if that was the thing that came along with it, it was fine. Because I'm sure a lot of people have dealt with that in the past when you're doing
not
something.
Not many
and
people
and
can handle it the way you, not the way you handled it, Renee, with a smile on your face at all times. I know you and I know Rosie very well. And you always had a great attitude. And that's not easy, dealing with some of these things.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, so now I would like to move on to another aspect of one of the most important aspects of your life. You reinvented yourself. Not only did you reinvent yourself, you became an amazing entrepreneur, woman who is to this day, years after you started your new career, successful. You and Rosie, your sister, tell us what you did. I remember, hold on, I remember very well. Okay, my daughter was about 5 years old and she was taking a ballet class. And we moseyed in after the ballet class to this store, and I'm like, whoa, this is cool. Varga? I love Varga. And I was telling her a little bit about Varga, the artist, and, you know, we wandered into the store, and I was looking around, and lo and behold, there you were. And I'm like, this store is great. This is so beautiful. It was Christmas time. Gorgeous. And you're like, this is my store. I was blown away. Tell us how that, then you started, you went back to school, and tell us a little bit about it.
I just reinvented myself because I'd done modeling and acting for about 20 years. And then, you know, I wanted to hang up my tail and my bunny ears and just, you know, go a different way, because I that's pretty much how I made my living, was modeling and acting. But then I was kind of like, what can I do? You know, and then I thought about when we were, my sister and I were sewing and designing our stuff for junior high, and we were the first day of school. So it's kind of like, I always loved doing that. So then I went to FITM, got the degree. And so then I was going to do a clothing line, but then I was kind of like, you know what, that's not really what I want to do, but I kind of wanted to do a store. So then my sister and I opened our first brick and mortar store in Los Angeles, in Santa Monica, California in 2006. And then we were trying to come up with names, and we were always inspired by Alberto Vargas, and he did all the Varga girls and the pinups and all of that stuff. So the name was either Varga or Sisters with a Z. So we were kind of like, you know, I wonder what would be good, you know, but then we were so fascinated, like, with that world of pinup, and it kind of reminded me a little bit of Playboy. It has that kind of, you know, cool, unique thing. And he actually published a lot of Vargas's in Playboy, so we went with Varga because that, like, seemed more, like, closer to what we did. So that's kind of when we came up with Varga, and then we just basically went to all the things we love, which are, we love vintage, we love color, we love Marilyn Monroe and all of these icons and people from the past.
Perfect.
And it's like a walk down memory lane. So that's basically, and then we incorporated fashion. So we just basically incorporated all the things that we love into this company, which is Varga. And we have one in the Westville, Topanga, in the Village. There's an outdoor mall out there. And then we also have one in the Santa Monica Place Mall, right directly outside of Nordstrom. So now we have two locations.
For how many years?
Yeah. Oh my
God.
We've
been
doing it probably for like 15 years. But
I
absolutely love it. We love it.
Amazing.
I have a question, but I don't want to deviate from what we're talking about. I mean, what playmate do you think from the past, before you were a playmate, do you think you're most like? And we can get back to what you were talking about afterwards. But
Which playmate?
Yes.
That I'm most like?
Yes. Similar to.
Wow. That's a good question.
I've never been asked that question. Johnny comes up with
crazy questions.
It's
a good question.
It's good. It makes
you
think, right? We're not prepared for that question.
The reason I say that is I interviewed Terry Lindell. What?
It's a good question.
Johnny. I would say the person that I would probably think I'm most like as a playmate. Wow.
And you know what? I don't even know this question, but it doesn't mean looks. Maybe it's the way you think
No, I'm just trying to think who I think encompasses the most of this would be like me. I would say it would be Lisa Matthews, who was my roommate. She was playmate of the year the year after me.
Mm-hmm.
She and I were very alike, very, very. She was like a little white version of me. I just reconnected with her.
Totally cool.
You
know, wow.
I know.
Loved her.
Like,
I
love her.
Professional and
She has all the
qualities that you have.
Connected, and I would say I was really, because she and I were, you know, like she was like, we were very similar. The way we thought was very similar. So I would definitely have to say her. And I would have to say maybe Devin. Vasquez.
Very
kind of like.
Oriented.
Yeah, for sure. I'd
but
probably
a good
say those
balance,
two.
Though.
Yeah, for sure. But Devin's got, like, she's really creative. She's always doing stuff with photo shoots. She's always doing stuff, you know, the little, she does, like, her barbecue sauce or her Creole sauce, you know. She's always,
very
like,
creative.
Herself. Yeah, she's very creative.
But mixing the creativity with the business.
But, you know, it's so cool, though, because you have all these Playmate friends, you know, that they go back for, you know, decades. You know, you're meeting these girls, like, in the 90s, and then, you know, then you're meeting them, like, when they're girls and then as they're women. So it's just somewhat – it's a relationship that you've known, and you've all gone up through all this whole thing, and you all – you know, it's like I was telling I had done an interview for Playboy about a month ago, but I was saying it almost seems like a dream because, you know, you're thinking back to all these parties and Hef would just do all this stuff, you know, and bear in mind, I don't think he drank, but he would do all this stuff for us. Like, where do you go to these
parties? Especially
now
that it's over, right?
Yeah, now that it's over.
Now that it's over,
like,
you really start to reflect.
Yeah, and you're like, why? This guy would throw these parties 3 or 4 times a year, have all this food, for everybody to go and have fun and drink all you wanted, eat all you want. You know, if you think about it, how many people do you know would go do that for you 3 or 4 times a year?
Nobody. No,
nobody.
One of a kind.
Nobody.
One of a kind. A legend.
And they were there.
Icon.
I was at the last Playboy party, the one, Hef's last party. And I remember I was just like, and it was, they had like a small little group. And, you know, because you could tell like when it was kind of getting taken over. And then they had the last one that was Playboy. But I remember they had like, but there was still like this small little group, but there were some little old ones in there. But I've seen these people for like 20, 30 years.
Renee,
they were all still
did
there.
You ever get stuck in the transition when you went up there as a playmate and you were actually up there going to a party that was like a corporate mixed in with too much of the other company?
Yeah.
They had more power than, that Halloween was a nightmare.
Yeah, because the people were bugging out. Yeah, because they were so, because then,
I had my first
storm.
I had my phone stolen. I had everything stolen
because
the other
people were your friends because you'd seen them for years.
Yes.
Like, so no one
would
steal from you because they were like, it was like everybody you knew.
And they wouldn't.
Like, nobody would steal.
Nothing ever happened.
Nothing would ever happen to you. But then towards the end, you could tell when people were fans or if they were new because they were so freaked out if they met you.
Or
they paid. Exactly. Because they weren't. It was too big.
They'd
too
win.
Big for some of the people. Yeah, yeah.
They'd have to enter a drawing, put money in, and they'd win. So every person, you didn't know, are they paying $1,000 or did they win that $1,000 to come up here? And those people, they were not your friends. And they turned
out.
Totally, and then when I went up for Halloween, it took 2 hours on the shuttle up there when
we're
used to being dropped off in limos, you know, or we would drive up and down. And you went through all these changes of, okay, now we have to take this shuttle bus. And then after a few years, then Tev was getting sick. And then now it takes 2 hours. And Elkie and I were on that shuttle bus and we swore we'll never come back to Halloween party here ever again.
I was trapped on that one because I remember Pamela. We were on that bus for like 2 hours, and then I saw Pamela, and I think it was a Jared Leto. She was dating him at the time, and you know, like where the Rock is as you go up the driveway. I looked over and I saw her
entourage.
So
were you close with this Pamela Anderson?
Yeah, Pamela Anderson. Yeah,
and you were close
Pamela
with
Anderson.
I went on her jet home once, but I never was really close with her. But she was always there for the playmates.
You know what? She was so.
You were?
Sweet. Pamela.
Was
she
nice?
I remember. I know Pamela. Yeah, very. Because I remember they brought Pamela. Because Pamela was actually the year after me, and I remember when I was shooting in Chicago. And they showed me her picture, and they were like, this girl has bugging on her. And I remember I was like, oh, my God, I was like, she's gorgeous. But
so
it was that picture.
Beautiful.
Yeah, and I remember they showed me her photo, and I was like, oh, my God, she's gorgeous. So then I remember I was shooting my Playmate of the Year video, and they brought Pamela to meet me. And she was with Scott Baio at the time, and I remember I just talked with her, and I remember she didn't have any makeup on, but I was like, oh, my God, this girl is so pretty.
But she was so pretty without, but totally different,
yeah,
though.
Just
beautiful
just so
with
pretty.
A lot of makeup.
Yeah,
and beautiful
without
makeup.
Yeah, and I remember Pamela didn't win PMOY, because Lisa did. And I remember I was working with Pamela on, we were working
but
together on
I understand
some show.
Still.
It's yeah, I don't really remember.
Beautiful, but the Lisa had that personality, that all American. There was something about the American. It was time we were in the war.
She
remember?
Was like she was like she was all American
was
all
a,
the way. And I
and
remember Pamela told
political
me,
type
yeah.
decision maybe.
Maybe, but I remember her telling me it doesn't matter. I'm going to be a huge star. Mark my words. She told me I will
awesome.
Be. She's like
I
am
question.
Going to be. A huge star, yeah.
And Pamela said that, yeah. I love that. And because Lisa Matthews, that was her big thing. Because we've never, she married some ultra, like, major guy. I don't know what he does. You probably know, producer or something. And she's so happy. And she went into, like, we never really saw much of her after that. And that's cool. That's fine. And that's great. She's probably a wonderful, loving wife and great mother. And I'm pretty sure she is. But then Pamela was like, I don't need to get Playmate of the Year. I'm going to be a star. That is, okay, Johnny, you can interrupt. But, I mean, this is one of the iconic stories of Playboy from Renee Tennyson, Playmate of the Year, for heaven's sake. Go on, Renee.
Oh, yeah. No. She just said she was going to be a big star. But she was, and she did. You know, she became Pamela Anderson, but she just started that tool time. I can't remember what I was working with on her, but then she just became Pamela Anderson. So, and she's probably the most known playmate of all time for sure. And she's sweet.
And you know what? I have a funny story about Scott Baio. Okay. He asked me out, and I remember I had special flat shoes on. They were crocodile, and I was up at the mansion, and I was like a fish out of water. Out of Nashville, Tennessee, and I would wear my blouses buttoned up to the top of my neck, and I had, like, conservative flat shoes. Like, you would never even recognize me, Renee. I was so this conservative Nashvillian, and he goes, you're walking like a ballerina, and I go, oh, thank you, and he asked me out, and I go, no, thank you. And nobody could believe that I wouldn't go out with him, but all I can remember is he was chalky to me. He was Dorky Chachi on Happy Days, and I could never date him. He was a dork in my high school world, in my farm country, in Monroe, Washington. He was considered the biggest dork of all time, and I was still that girl. I'm like, I'm not going to date you. And I remember I was laying in the guest house that Barbie Benton designed, and this was a cottage-type house. Remember how great that was, Renee?
Yes, yes. Playmate house, yes, yes.
And I was, that's where I stayed every time I was at the mansion. So I never was in the big house, which was thought of
I
as
never
like,
was in the
well,
big house either.
Married.
I was always in that, one. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Because he was married when we were in the beginning of our, and I experienced the earthquake in that little twin bed by myself in the cottage, the 92 earthquake, the biggest one. And I experienced, this is another thing, Anna Nicole Smith, which we knew as Vicky at the time, she was rooming with me. There was two bedrooms
oh, wow.
and four beds. Yes. Okay, so I was in a bedroom with Vicky Smith, and she was on the phone all night long and with the guy from the chicken commercial. That was her boyfriend. She was talking to him. It is true, not the commercial, the chicken fast food joint. He was working there with her. He was the chef, quote unquote, at this place. She was crying all night and fighting with him. And I said, please, I need to get up tomorrow. I'm shooting my centerfold.
This is a nightmare.
Do you mind?
This is a nightmare.
Do you mind, like, keeping it down? She would not. She didn't care. She did not understand the concept of consideration. She, but beyond small town, she did not understand. Okay, you could say it's not her fault, but anyway, I didn't care whose fault it was.
I never met her. I never met her before, but I would have liked to.
Yes.
Better.
So this is what you would have done, Renee. I moved to the room over because there was an empty bed, and that's where Echo was staying. I'm just thinking, well, Echo's out late tonight. She'll just go in the bed with Anna Nicole, right? Or, well, her name was Vicky at the time. She wasn't Anna Nicole yet. Okay, so anyway, I don't even remember who was in that room that I laid down in. Maybe it was empty. Actually, yeah, I think it was empty. Whatever. So she comes home, and I thought she went into the room of Vicky's, and she really came into that room because it was empty. That's right. It was empty, the other twin bed. And I was on the phone under the covers just waking up and telling somebody how dorky Scott Baio is, that he had asked me out that night, and I couldn't believe it. And I was like, no way, dude. But my friend here, Echo, went out with him, and how dorky was that? And then she was, and I sat up in bed, and I looked, and I'm like, oh, my God, to myself. Echo is laying there. Oh, my God, is she pretending she's sleeping? And I was like, my whole body, like, went into the sweat, like,
this is a nightmare.
I told you this so bad. Though. Years later, it literally was 15 years later. I'm like, Echo, do you remember that? And she's like, no. I'm like, oh God. And we were laughing our butts off because we became really close friends. But that literally, Renee, happened. And
it does.
I was like,
it does.
Totally
right. Yeah, around these girls.
People are like, well,
like,
you
yeah.
didn't go out with Scott Baio. Well, for heaven's sake, no, he was a total dork. What do you mean? He's famous to the rest of the world.
Yeah.
I got more
yeah.
stories than you could believe. Like,
oh,
you and I have so many stories. But then how many playmates are there? Like, maybe under 1,000 in the world? Playmates.
I don't
know. Do you
know
how many intertwined stories?
Yeah.
That is an amazing thought right there. I know a lot of us are writing books. I haven't started a book yet. Have you?
I did some statistics.
No.
It turns out there are more Navy SEALs than there are playmates.
Oh. There are?
Yes.
Maybe.
Yeah, and that's not very many.
We
have you dated one,
how
Renee? I dated one, though, actually. And you know what? It took him one full year to get up the nerve to give me a kiss.
Oh, wow. That's a long time.
They're robots. They're like robots. They're not all that
scared.
You think. They're,
you're probably,
you want a little humanity.
A woman like you. You know what I mean? He blew his mind.
Oh,
not, you know. Yeah, no, seriously. Maybe he blew his mind.
Look at me, Priscilla. Renee is saying, because I have my AirPods on. She's She's saying, oh, men, they might get intimidated dating a woman like me. Priscilla sees the real me. I have, like, what? Brown root, no nails, no pedicure. I have to grow it off because it was gel. And, I mean, yeah, I'm so thin. I'm in pretty good shape. I could probably tone
exactly.
my arms up. But, I mean, yeah. no, Renee. I mean, I'm just a human woman. And I'm white, by the way, which sucks because I don't have my spray tan. I'm not complaining
I
about
know.
It,
we're
but
all,
I will
we're
say
all suffering
one time.
We're all, you know. But
dang,
you know, I'm trying to do
it's like
bad.
My spray tan
good.
Hid
yeah.
all the
yeah.
flaws. I mean, if you had a spray tan, nobody would see anything wrong with me. But, okay. Anyway, we've taken up your time, and we're going to close off at 6:30, 6:24. I'm going to let Johnny, because he probably feels like he couldn't even get a word in edgewise.
No, that's fine. That's fine.
The
that's
last
fine.
Question. Johnny,
okay.
ask the last
Are you
question.
Ever, this actually question is for the both of you. Have you ever been in a room where there was a bunch of playmates, and then you see another playmate come in, and everybody is like stops and look at how beautiful she is?
Wow. Yeah. I mean, I think that
yeah.
happens. That happens a lot. Like,
yeah.
There's
actually,
certain playmates. Yeah. yeah. That are captivating, you know,
Smith that happened. I've heard Anna Nicole Smith
yeah.
was one that,
you know
that everybody
what?
Just sort of stopped. You know,
she was, I was, they Playboy flew me in. She, during her Playmate of the Year party, they wanted to have me at in New York. I don't remember why, but they flew me to her Playmate of the Year party. And I didn't know her. I knew of her. And I remember she came in to the party and she had like this, like, I think like $2 million necklace on, and they had her dressed
wow.
up kind of like, you know, Marilyn Monroe, and they were bringing her down.
Beautiful.
Like they had like all these guys, these male models were carrying her, and she just had like such star quality. I remember I was just like, wow, because she just like was electric, like literally
so
electric.
Beautiful.
She was beautiful.
I think
and
she
just,
has the
like,
most
yeah,
pretty face
Christmas,
I've ever
sure.
seen in my life. The face was the prettiest face I've ever seen in my entire
the
face, life.
The package, because she had the big boobs. She was voluptuous.
And just
I
Amazon.
Just it all worked. It all worked for her.
Like
but it made
model.
Her, like, yeah, it gave her that little.
But with.
And then, like
with
I said, in
the
temple,
boom.
I met her, too, as well. Yeah, because she had come in with no makeup. And I remember I just was like, wow, this girl. But then when you would see her in makeup, she just could look like the girl next door. She looked, or she could just look real vampy. And because I'd done VIP, her show she had. But then, you know, then, of course, she had the hair and the lashes and makeup. And, you know, so I just think some of these girls, like, and then I do remember I was awestruck when I met Devin DeVasquez, because I remember I'd always, because she was the closest one of color that I had seen that I identified with, and then I remember
and
when
she
I
was
met her
the winner. Oh, Renee,
Star Search,
I don't mean to interrupt, but she was the Star Search winner, and we've interviewed her for this as well, for this Playmate series. Did you know that?
But I remember I saw her. Yeah, no, I do. And I knew, and I remember she'd won Star Search because I was looking at her video in Idaho. And then when I saw her, I thought she was more of a celebrity from Star Search even than Playboy. So I remember I met her like right as you're going right in from the Great Hall, you know, in Playboy, you're going right into where the bar's at right there. You go down the steps. I remember
right.
I met her right there. And I remember
but,
I
and
just,
you feel
like,
that
I was,
she's
yeah.
the darker, she has a darker skin as well.
Yeah.
So
I
you
identified
related.
With her because like I said, I was the only one that kind of like, was kind of dark. Her and Rebecca Ferrari at the time were the only two
right.
that I'd seen. So those are the ones that I kind of was like, wow, because they
Rebecca.
Looked a little bit like me. Yeah.
Oh, that face, Rebecca Ferrari. I mean, the girls of the 90s, they say that the faces, and you know what? It's true. I
it's
love
Ava
my
Fabian,
Playboy Playmate
you know,
book.
Yeah.
Do you look
Ava
through
Fabian,
your
like,
centerfold
yeah.
book?
Yeah.
Do you look through that?
Oh,
just,
I love that.
I love it. I love looking
Which
through
ones
the...
do you? Which ones did you admire that you saw?
Okay. Oh. Gosh, Cheryl Bachman was my
oh yeah
the one that I
the hair
when I was coming
yeah.
I would just look at hers and just think, I want it to be like hers. And she's like the most gorgeous of all, I would think. And
she's good.
Straight hair and that perfect face and the perfect body. And I was just like, darn, I wish my boobs were like,
You're right. She did.
And just the wet, remember the whole wet look? Oh, man, that was hot. So that, I just kept looking at that. And I remember I was rooming with Morgan Fox. Whatever happened to her?
Oh, Morgan, I'm Facebook friends with her. She's good.
Oh.
She's raising horses.
I would like to be friends with her.
Yeah.
I have great memories with her.
Yeah. Yeah, she's really
she
sweet.
Hot.
She's like raising horses. And she looks the same, actually. I'm friends with almost all of the Playmates, like literally. She looks exactly the same.
Wow. Okay, good. Because I wasn't so sure, Renee, that you have this wonderful store. And you, listeners, please go to Varga.com. Am I correct?
Yes, for sure.
Varga.com to shop at our beautiful, wonderful show guest tonight, which I'm so happy about. This was an absolute wonderful show, wasn't it, Johnny?
Yes, it was.
Thank
it was.
You, guys. I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
And
Barbara,
I'll see
you.
Renee, if you have any suggestions.
What is Rosie saying in the background?
She was saying goodbye.
Okay.
Renee,
let me do the shout out if you guys don't mind.
Sorry.
Okay.
I just wanted to tell her if she has any suggestions for future Playmates for the series to go ahead and send
them
over, Renee.
Thank you, Donnie.
Oh, yes, for sure.
Let's do the shout out.
Okay. Good.
Oh, definitely. I'll definitely, definitely refer you guys. Yeah, for sure.
Thank you, Renee. So if you would like to continue following the show, we would be more than pleased. But take it a next step further and come over to our YouTube channel, Life, Laughter, Happiness YouTube. And while you're there, don't forget to subscribe. We appreciate the support and we actually need it. Thank you to our beautiful, wonderful Playboy Playmate guest tonight, Renee Tennyson, 1990 Playboy Playmate of the Year. Thank you, Renee, so much. And
all right,
Rosie, thanks, too, who's in the background. Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
And if you would like
Take
to
care.
See this show and hear this show again, go to our YouTube channel and find all of the other shows that we have. So what's next, Johnny? Who's up next?
Well, I think tomorrow. Let me see.
We know who it is. It's Playboy Bunny,
right.
Sandra Costa. So it's
okay.
All part of the Playboy Playmates. It's not just Playmates. It's the Playboy series because guess what, Renee? I know the most fabulous Playboy Bunny who's now in her 70s, and my brother was dating her. And so I met her by happenstance, and she's like, wait. Your sister's a Playboy Playmate? And then they broke up years ago, like 15 years ago, but we've remained amazing friends. She is one of the top interior decorators in America.
Is she the one we're doing tomorrow?
She's an architect as well. Not many do architecture, like they're an architect, they build the building, and then they decorate the outside and the interior as well. So we have her on tomorrow, and guess what her nickname was by Hugh Hefner? Business Bunny.
Well, the Money Bunny, right? All right. No.
Business Bunny, not the Money Bunny. I thought it was the Money Bunny, but it's the Business Bunny.
Okay, the Business Bunny. Okay. She hung up.
We have her on tomorrow. So thank you so much, Renee Tennyson.
Thank you. Thank you.
Do you hear her? Are you still there,
Renee? Oh, she got
Renee?
Disconnected. Yeah, she disconnected.
What? Did she hang up?
She hung up. Yeah, she hung up. I'm sorry.
What?
Okay, good night. Because she thought it was over. Good night. Good night, Barbara.